Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to talk a little NBA, as promised. And joining me right now, he is the founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can find him on SiriusXM, NBA Radio, NBA TV. Geltz, I haven't looked at your Twitter bio in a while, but I'm just looking at it right now. Grant Hill once called me Tony Soprano is what it says. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on the show right now. When did Grant Hill call you Tony Soprano?
This is a great story. So last year, I was at All-Star in front of Staples with NBA TV, and we were doing, you know, we do our 10 before tip specials both nights, but we did a couple game time hits to try to promote that. And we did. It was a pretty cool because it was me and Sekou Smith and Howard Beck waiting to go on. The segment before us and the three chairs we were sitting in were Elgin Baylor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and James Worthy. I sat in the Kareem chair, which is pretty cool. So we do our segment and we get done, and we're swapping out for Grant Hill and Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, my friend Jared Greenberg is, calls me the Tony Soprano of NBA TV. He has a good time with that. So Grant Hill does a beeline for me, gives me like a bro hug and a handshake, pulls me in tight and goes, "My man, Tony Soprano." And I never forgot it. And to me, like, you'll kill me there, Shawnee. You know, I remember when the Rangers won the Cup in 94, now I can die in peace?
Right.
That's how I felt with Grant Hill calling me Tony Soprano.
That's the best. It's awesome. Okay, good. Now I got the backstory for that. And as much as you and I like the Sopranos, like, it's cool that it was Grant Hill, like, but even cooler that he was calling you Tony Soprano, I think. It was, like, the big thing.
Yes. Yeah, Shawnee, you got to remember, I have a daughter that I named Meadow.
Right.
Directly to have a kid named after Tony Soprano's kid.
Oh, it was like a dream come true. It's unbelievable. Great story. So, Geltz, good to catch up with you. It's been a little while since we last spoke. Anthony Davis has announced he doesn't want to be with the Pelicans anymore. The Lakers tried to get the Pelicans to do a deal before the deadline, and the Pelicans reportedly put all kinds of stuff out there to crater the Lakers team chemistry. So nothing really going on these last couple weeks.
Nah, it's been quiet, right? I mean, no trades or nothing, right? It's the crazy thing about this league, man, is that, like, you actually had games being played every night.
Yeah.
For like a week and a half, no one gave a rat's backside about what was happening on the floor. Like, James Harden is getting 40 points every game, and, you know, and the Warriors are winning 12 in a row, and no one cares. No one cared because everybody's worried about where Anthony Davis was going, Porzingis trades. But listen, that's what the NBA's become. And then, frankly, I'm not going to lie, I love it.
Yeah, so let me ask you that, Geltz. I know you love it. I love it. Because you're right. I mean, we may have reached the crossing over point, and we may have reached it a long time ago, where people are more interested in where the guys are going to be playing as opposed to the actual play on the court. Is that a good thing long term for the league?
No, but it's also not. It's a fluid situation, and it's not going to stay that way long term. It's part of a cycle.
Yeah.
Listen, we talked for so long about where LeBron James is going to go, and he switched destinations a bunch of times. That shifted the balance of power in the league. Then we refocused on what's happening on the court. We've gotten to a situation where there's many people out there, and rightfully so, who believes it's a fait accompli that the Golden State Warriors win their third title and their fourth in 5 years. And when you get a dynasty going like that, everybody's looking ahead to what's next. If Kevin Durant leaves Golden State and goes somewhere else, the focus will come back to the court. But when you have, and the way the NBA set it up is brilliant, because in these last two CBAs, they've shortened the length of contracts, which means the free agent scene is as vibrant as any season out there, including seasons where games are being played. So the NBA has kind of put that front and center in a very clever way, and you get players that like to kind of create their own trail here and make their own legacy in terms of deciding who they want to go play with. And listen, the game's generating a ton of revenue. The players are the product. In my opinion, they have every right to do that. So I have no issue with it. I think it's become a real fun aspect of the league, Shawnee.
Okay, well, so I'm about to, as I sit here and wonder whether it's bad for the league, my next question is going to be nothing to do with what's happening on the court with the Toronto Raptors. It's going to be about Kawhi Leonard. How do you think all this LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Davis wanting to go to L.A., is that a good thing or a bad thing if you're a Laker fan that wants Kawhi Leonard to come there?
I think it's a bad thing. And the thing is this. You know, Leonard is not a guy that likes a lot of circus is the word that has been used to describe what happens around LeBron James and the way Leonard looks at that. It's a circus. And Leonard's not a guy that likes a circus. He comes from a San Antonio background. He doesn't need this aggravation. And look what's happening to these guys playing with LeBron. Getting names thrown in trade rumors. You're the flavor of the month. That's not Kawhi Leonard at all. He is used to loyalty. And for him, I don't think that works for him. Here's the other thing. I think Kawhi wants to be loved. And it doesn't make him different than most any other free agent. But you need to be shown the love by a particular team. It's been made very clear to Kawhi Leonard that he's the Lakers' second choice. At most, second choice. And Anthony Davis is the apple of their eye. You know who is the apple of the Los Angeles Clippers' eye, Shawnee? Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
And that's what you keep an eye on. Because ultimately, that's a very professional organization, great ownership, a brilliant front office, Michael Winger, Lawrence Frank, Jerry West, and a championship head coach in Doc Rivers. That's widely respected. That's a situation to watch. All those unions, you realize who Kawhi Leonard is. All of those personalities fit Kawhi Leonard a lot more than LeBron, Magic, and this sideshow that goes on with the Lakers.
Agreed. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, since we last talked, Kristaps Porzingis has been traded to the Dallas Mavericks. I want to talk about the Knicks side of it in a second, but man, what do you think about how Dallas has kind of remade itself in the last 12 months or so with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think the Mavericks have done a fantastic job laying a future out. They've where they were kind of dead in the water in a slow build. The aggressive trade for Doncic and now an aggressive trade for Porzingis is fantastic. The only ironic part of all of it is Dallas makes a trade for Porzingis, and you hear a lot of the narrative that, well, they realize they're not going to be able to sign the big free agent. So, you know, using cap space on taking on bad salary to bring in a star was the way they had to go. Fair enough. And then a week later, what move did they make at the deadline? Harrison Barnes gone for pretty much nothing. Okay,
right.
So they can make cap space available and be a player for a max guy this summer. So, listen, Dallas is going to be out there doing that, and they're very smart guys that run the show. Their whole future now is hinged upon Kristaps Porzingis being healthy. That's the difference between having a chance to be a title contender and being an okay to decent team for the next 5 to 10 years. And listen, you know, the bottom line is it's Dallas made a very big bet. The Knicks took the don't pass on that side, and I may like their side better.
Yeah, so the Knicks now, Geltz, open up what presumably, I guess, is enough space to go get two max guys. What kind of max guys you think the Knicks are going to land?
Well, that's the danger with the Knicks. Like, listen, I know what they think, and in all fairness to the Knicks here, they didn't do this on spec. They have legit intel that tells them they have very good chances with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving that they're playing the mix for those two players. So they didn't do this blind. The danger with the Knicks lies is that if they don't get those two guys, like, are we going to go, like, max out Kemba Walker? Or, you know, maybe, like, you know, what's next for the Knicks? You know, they've had a habit of throwing max money at guys that don't deserve max money. So they're at danger for doing that. Again, the flip side is that if they're smart with the cap space and they use it efficiently and they don't get either of those guys or even one of those two guys coming up, at least they're in a situation now where they can rent the cap space, gather more assets, play the long game with the cap space. It doesn't have to be something that burns a hole in your pocket. The thing for this Knicks front office is that it's still highly dysfunctional. They made a great trade, Shawnee, but remember something. Okay, a broken clock is right twice a day. And once in a while, you bump into it. How they use this cap space is going to define this group in terms of what their legacy is for running a Knicks front office. And when I say group, I mean Steve Mills, who's been there since 2003, and they've done nothing. Okay, Scott Perry, and then the third one is Craig Robinson, Michelle Obama's brother, who has a lot of say in that front office.
Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, what was your favorite move at the trade deadline?
You know, interesting. I will say this, as risky as it was, I thought the two teams that came out the best were two teams that made deals with each other. And to me, that was the 76ers and the Clippers. First of all, the 76ers, I understand that they gave up a ton for Tobias Harris. He makes them great. Like, I know there's a ton of risk coming up in free agency, but you know what? With those four guys that they have, Simmons, Embiid, and with Redick in there, and now with Harrison Butler, they have one of the best starting lineups in the league. Their starting lineup is competitive with Golden State. It really is. Harris is a 43% three-point shooter, and he really, really defends the perimeter well. This is a team that can be the best defensive team in basketball and maybe the best offensive team in basketball. And I know they gave up a ton, but you know what? They're going after it, and I give them a ton of credit. They don't know how long they're going to have Embiid healthy. The other team's the Clippers. You know what? Harris was leaving. Harris may stay in Philly, but he was going to leave the Clippers. They got two first-round picks, including that Miami unprotected pick. That's a great job. The other thing they did that was terrific, Lawrence Frank stole Ivica Zubac. He's a good player, Zubac. Mm-hmm. And they got him for Mike Muscala and the right to waive Michael Beasley. Wow. You know what I mean? Just a fantastic job all around there. So I think that, yes, the Clippers and Sixers, it's rare you see that a deal with each other. Those two teams came out the best. But I thought that was one of the more mutually beneficial trades we've seen in a long time.
It was an interesting trade deadline, no doubt about that. HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter. You can catch him on Sirius XM, NBA Channel, and NBA TV. And Grant Hill called him Tony Soprano last year. So there you go. That is the resume right there of one Brian Geltzeiler. Geltz, you're the best, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Shawnee, thanks so much, and thanks for finishing with the most important item.
You got it, Brian Geltzeiler, joining me on the show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.